God, we are here in your presence confessing there is nothing in us that makes us worthy to be in your presence. It is your grace that invites us to come into your family and to come into your presence as worshipers. And we pray that you will have heard us sing our praise of your Son Jesus, and that it is the true reflection of our hearts. Help us now as we get ready to hear your word, and we will give you praise through Christ we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Back in January, up at Cedarville University, they had an MLK Day celebration. And at that celebration, I had the chance to hear Dr. Aaron Lavender bring the message. And I was powerfully affected by the message, but I was more excited to hear that he and the Fundamental Baptist Fellowship Association would be having their convention at Cedarville in July, and it would start on a weekend. And so I immediately made my way up to him and thanked him for his message, and contacted he and Greg Dyson, who's coordinating things, and asked if he would be available to speak to us. And I am so privileged to be able to introduce him to you today. Dr. Lavender is the pastor of Grace Baptist Church in Greater Kansas City, Missouri. And we are excited to have him here. I'm also excited for a number of reasons. The conference theme is crossing the bridge of the ethnic divide. And you know, that is such an important thing, not just for the FBFA, for us. Because as a church, we recognize that we want to be a place where we are conscientiously seeking to be people who are bridging that divide wherever it may exist. We know that we want to reject racism and ethnic division in any of its overt ways, but as we were talking earlier, it's not the overt stuff. It's the subtle thing. And we want to learn how to be better, because we want our church here, and we want our churches everywhere to be as close a reflection of what the kingdom of God is going to be, where it is people of every tribe and tongue and nation and language. And it's not just missions over there, it's here. So grateful to have Dr. Lavender here with us. Would you come and open the word to us? We look forward to hearing what God has given you to share with us, brother.
Thank you, my brother. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Craig. Thank you so very, very much, Grace Baptist Church of Cedarville, for allowing me to stand where your pastor stands on a regular basis, preaching the word of God. Thank you so very, very much. So good to have my lovely wife, Ladora. I'm going to have her stand. We just celebrated our 45th wedding anniversary on yesterday. And I know you're saying, man, she looks so young. I got her right out of grade school. I did. And so I am so thankful for 45 years. And thank God for friends from Kansas City and Cleveland, Ohio. Would you stand? And at this time, we thank God that you're here this morning with us. Thank you so very, very much. Appreciate that. So thank you, Pastor, for the privilege. Thank you for opening up your pulpit to give me the opportunity to minister the word of God. These are challenging times, and I'm thankful that God has given us a ministry that transcends whatever the problems are. We can come to the Word of God and see what God says about how to do ministry. Ministry is exciting, and I'm here this morning to talk about thanking God for Christian ministry. I'm going to ask you to find in your Bibles 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 through 21. And then Matthew 28, 19 and 20. 2 Corinthians 5, 17 to 21. Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Would you stand in honor of the God of the Word as I read the text this morning? 2 Corinthians on your PowerPoint is probably the ESV. I'll be reading from the New King James Version, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 17 through 21, Matthew 28, 19. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might be made, or we might become, the righteousness of God in him. And then Matthew 28, very familiar passage. We're all familiar with this, starting with verse number 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Father, take that which is written and lift it from the page of Scripture and plant it deep in our hearts in order that we might count more for Jesus. And we'll thank you for it, for Christ's sake. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. If you were able to summarize the ministry of the local church, and we probably are able to do that with our knowledge of the New Testament, but the ministry of the New Testament, of the church, in the New Testament can be summarized from two words: reconciliation and renewal. That the church in the world today needs to develop and implement a totally functional, biblically based ministry is an understatement. Michael Horton, in his wonderful book, Where in the World is the Church, he says this: the problem with the church today is that far too many of us have developed an us versus them mentality. Us versus them. Now, I don't know if Horton thought about the word us meaning him as a Caucasian or whatever, but I think that's what he intimated. I think that he had in mind that it's very easy to get comfortable in your own skin. And God would have us to recognize that ministry goes beyond that. Us versus them. And churches that fail to recognize its purpose end up substituting things that are important to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for things that are important to them. And so, as blood-bought, blood-washed children of God, born-again believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we should never lose sight of our vision and our mission as blood-bought believers. This is the ministry that we have. This is a ministry that we ought to thank God for. The fact that God has saved us should overwhelm us. We didn't deserve to be saved, but God saved us. We ought to be shouting right now, hallelujah, we're saved. And so there are two lines of truth that I would like to explore connected with the subject or the theme, thank God for Christian ministry. Will you notice, first of all, from our text in 2 Corinthians 5, the biblical basis for Christian ministry? The biblical basis for Christian ministry is reconciliation. This is what the Apostle Paul is trying to get across to the saints at Corinth. Notice the meaning. He talks about reconciliation in our text in verses 18 and 19. He says, now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us
the word of reconciliation. Four times in these two verses, the Apostle Paul talks about reconciliation. Well, what is this all about? What does it mean to be reconciled? The word reconciled or reconciliation means a change from one place to another. As we speak of it spiritually, we're saying that God has changed us from a place of enmity with him to a place of friendship with him. I am no longer an enemy of God. God has so changed this personal relationship with me and with you by virtue of our redemption that we're no longer seen as an enemy of God. Now remember, reconciliation is what God does. It is not what you and I do. You and I have not been reconciled. We did not seek God out. We didn't go looking for God. God tracked us down. Reconciliation is God hunting us down. We are saved today because God tracked us down. It's the escalator that goes from heaven down, not one that goes down up to heaven. Because no man can be saved on his own. God took the initiative to make things right between us and between him. You see, reconciliation is what happens when sinners become saints. And the fact that they move from being God's enemies to God's friends, no longer the recipient of God's wrath, but now being a recipient of divine mercy and divine grace. Now that's something to sing about and shout about and smile about. That I wake up every morning knowing that I'm no longer on God's hit list. I'm no longer an enemy of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. God has reconciled me. God has so changed me, I became savable, and God saved my soul. And every one of us this morning who have embraced the cross of Jesus, you are reconciled. We are reconciled. Paul says it four times. We've been reconciled. So what is the meaning of reconciliation? It's a change from enmity to friendship. That means before you and I got saved, we were the enemies of God. We may not have felt like we were enemies of God. We may have grew up in a Christian family on a mission field, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. The Bible says we were all born in sin. We were all on death row. We all deserve to go straight to hell, but God saved us. He has reconciled us to himself. Notice not just the meaning of reconciliation, but the text gives us the means of reconciliation. And the means of reconciliation is the sacrificial blood atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ. He tells us in verse number 18 that it is God who has reconciled us to himself. Notice, through Jesus Christ. You see, nothing else works. Nothing else works. You can mandate, you can dictate, you can legislate, you can rehabilitate. It won't work. Coming to church won't make you reconciled to God. Getting baptized just makes you a wet sinner on your way to hell. That's all it does. Doing good things can't help you. There's absolutely nothing else available to bring sinful mankind back to God but the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. No wonder the Apostle Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 18, for Christ also suffered for us our sins, the just for the unjust. Notice the purpose, in order that he might bring us to God. Jesus brought us to God. When he sacrificed himself, he shed his blood so that you and I could be born again Christian. That's the means of reconciliation. Nothing else works. The only thing that can make a sinner a saint is the Lord Jesus Christ. We got any saints in the house this morning? We got any saints in the house this morning? I'm a saint, so when you see me today, you call me Saint Lavender. That's what you need to do. The blood of the Lord Jesus has made it possible for me to go from being a sinner on my way to hell, a recipient of the wrath of God, to now a saint of God, being bathed in the mercy and the grace and the love of God. And as I said back in January, I'm so saved, I don't know what to do with myself, I tell you. That's what reconciliation does. That's what it does. That's the means of our reconciliation, the death of the Lord Jesus. But notice the evidence. The evidence, he says in verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new what? He's a new creation. He's a new creature. All things have passed away, written in the aorist tense and denotes the definite change that has taken place when a person gets saved. A definite change takes place. When you and I got saved, we became different people. Am I right? A definite change. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become what? New. That's perfect tense. It denotes the abiding change that takes place in our life. You see, when a person repents of their sin and receives the Lord Jesus Christ, they become a believer in Jesus. They're now saved. They're immediately and forever transformed in soul, in mind, in heart, in body by the power of God through the blood of the Lord Jesus. Now that I'm saved, my entire outlook has changed. My entire outlook has changed. My entire world looks different now that I'm saved. It doesn't matter what side of the track I came up on. It doesn't matter. Because God has saved my soul. God has transformed my life. I think different now. Hallelujah. My mind is different. My thoughts have changed. God's word now through the Holy Spirit becomes that which I desire most. My thoughts have changed. Not only have my thoughts changed, my actions have changed. I don't do the same things I used to do. My speech has changed. Now I speak with the seasoning salt of God's grace. This is what's so great about being transformed by the power of God. We ought to be able to pick believers out, am I right? We ought to be able to pick them out because we've been changed. We are not the same, am I right about that? That means that now everything is viewed through God's perspective. That means pride and bigotry and racism and the like are no longer welcomed in our life because we've been changed. Paul talks about the evidence. The evidence, we can tell people all day long that we've been born again. You can stand in the line at Walmart and tell people all day long that you are born again. You can come into Grace Baptist Church in Cedarville or KC Mo, all you want to, and tell folk that you've been born again. But there must be some evidence. Our lives must be changed, and people ought to see that our lives have been changed. They ought to look at us and say, listen, that man's thoughts and actions and speech have changed. I remember when he was just a no good little fella. Now he's been changed. His whole outlook has changed. He sees people as products of God's divine creation. That's right. So now that I'm saved, there's no room for pride. There's no room for prejudice. There's no room for racism. There's no room for bigotry. It is no room for that because God has made a definite change in my life. So the biblical basis of Christian ministry is reconciliation. And may I say to you the reason why there's a problem in our nation today? The real reason, it's a sin problem. It's a sin problem. Now, either we are not saved or we need to get on our knees and repent. There's no excuse in the body of Christ for Christians to harbor attitudes and judgmental criticisms toward others, not just those of other ethnic groups, but those within their own group. Paul says, therefore, on the basis of what I just told you, he says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. He's changed. There's a definite change that has taken place. There's an abiding change that is taking place. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become what? Now think about it. Right now, today, this very moment, all who are saved, we got saved the same way. You do know that, don't you? You do know, maybe you didn't know, but I'm here to tell you, all right? You, whether you knew it or not, there is no black way to get saved. Y'all with me, right? Oh, okay, y'all scaring me, okay. There is no white way to get saved. There is no Hispanic way to get saved or Asian way to get saved. If you are saved today, we got saved the same way. That means the blood of Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus Christ made a difference in our lives. We came to know the truth that Jesus died on the cross, am I right? Was buried and rose from the dead, am I right? We embraced that. We confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus. We believed in our heart that God has raised him from the dead. We are now saved. We're no longer sinners. We're saints of God. We are now, right now, traveling in the same boat together, going in the same direction for the glory of God. You may not like sitting next to me on the boat, but you ain't got no choice. We in this thing together, you hear me? And so this is what Paul is trying to get across, that God in his love and in his mercy and in his grace, he stepped in and reconciled us back to himself. And so reconciliation, which now becomes the biblical basis of ministry, reconciliation trumps racial, intellectual, social, and economic perspective and privilege. Reconciliation. And so Paul says to the church at Corinth, God has given you not just a word of reconciliation, but a ministry of reconciliation. We've got the word, but we've got a ministry. And so I say to Grace Baptist Cedarville, Grace Baptist KCMO, the biblical basis of our ministry is reconciliation. Amen? Matthew 28. The biblical basis is reconciliation. There must be a strategy. We know the basis. What's the strategy? How do we go about doing ministry stuff? How do we carry out Christian ministry? If we look at this passage that we know as the Great Commission, we see that the biblical strategy for carrying out Christian ministry is renewal. And so the question is asked, how did the Lord Jesus carry out ministry while he was on earth in one fleshly human body? Well, how does Jesus carry on ministry now in one body? But it's not fleshly, it's spiritual. And it's the church. God has already always operated in one body, be it Jesus in the flesh or spiritually the body of Christ, the church. And so the Bible tells us, does it not? The Bible gives us our marching orders. And according to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 19 and 20, we are ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ. We are Christ's spiritual agents sent into the world with the message and word of reconciliation. And so as Christ's ambassadors, we go where he wants us to go. We share what he wants us to share. We represent him. Listen, I am a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am not here representing Grace Baptist Church of Kansas City, nor am I here representing the Fundamental Baptist Fellowship Association. I am here representing my commander-in-chief, the Lord Jesus Christ. You are representatives of Christ. You are not representatives of Cedarville University. You are not a representative of Grace Baptist Church of Cedarville. We are not representatives of our denomination. We are representatives and ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's strategy. And so Jesus gives us the strategy. It's as if he says, there's something I want you to know. There's something I want you to do. There's somewhere I want you to go. Notice what he says. He says in verse 18, all authority has been given to me in heaven and in earth. Notice Jesus says, he talks about the strategy and his authority. There's something you need to know. The authority that impels us, compels us, motivates us, and prompts us to do ministry is the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Because it's centered on his person, who he is. He is the Son of the living God. It's centered on his purpose, what he has done. He is the one who has bought the church, shedding of his own precious blood. This authority centers on his power, what he can and will do. Earlier on in this gospel account, chapter number 16, when they were going through the regions of Caesarea Philippi, remember the Lord Jesus Christ eyeballed the 12. And he says, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? They spoke up. Some say that you're Elijah, Jeremiah, one of the prophets. Oh, I tell you, if someone would ask you, who is that lavender guy from Kansas City? And you say, oh, he's like Elijah. He's like Jeremiah. He's like one of the prophets. Oh, I feel so good. I feel so good to be in the company of Jeremiah, to be in the company of Elijah, to be in the company of one of the other prophets. That you're talking about sticking your chest out. Oh, I'd be proud. But that's an insult to the Lord Jesus Christ, because Jesus is not like Jeremiah. He is not like Elijah. He is not like one of the prophets. He is a son of the living God. He is not a mere man. And God help us when we try to put him on our level. And so Jesus says, I'm the authority. I'm the authority. It's my authority that compels you and impels you and motivates you to have a strategic ministry. He says, there's something you need to know. You need to know who I am. But notice quickly, he says, there's something you need to do. Notice what the text says in verse 19. Go therefore and what? See that word teach? You know what it means, right? It means to make disciples. So God is telling us that this church, Grace Church, needs to be about making disciples. And that's tricky business. Because in order to make a disciple, you need to know what a disciple is. Not only do you need to know what a disciple is, you've got to have some disciples to make disciples. Am I right? And so since we understand what it means to make individuals more like Christ and not more like our church, more like Christ and not more like our church. More like Christ. I'll say it until you say amen. More like Christ and not more like our church. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. That's what a disciple is. He's more like Jesus. It's not about a denomination or a church or a location. He says, go make disciples of every ethnic group, every people group. How do we do that? By evangelizing, getting people saved, by identifying them with the body of Christ and the commander-in-chief, the Lord Jesus Christ, by baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and then by teaching them, instructing them. So Jesus says, there's something you need to know. There's something you need to do. There's somewhere you need to go. I'm reminded of what the Lord says in Acts chapter 1, verse number 8, when he tells them to be his disciples, yes, he says, it's when the Holy Spirit comes upon you and you will be my martyrs, you will be witnesses concerning me, both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth. In Jerusalem, there's much failure going to be there. In Judea, it's going to be very difficult. In Samaria, you're going to face a lot of opposition. In the uttermost part of the earth, you're going to be challenged. But he says, there's a place I want you to go. And it's interesting to me. I don't know if you sense it here in Cedarville, but I sense it in Kansas City, that because of our indolence, because of our ignorance, because of our disobedience, God, we're not doing what God has told us to do. God says, okay, I'm going to bring the world to you. I'm going to bring the world to you. So what God does, he brings all kinds of people groups to our area. All kinds of people groups to our area to shake us up. God wants us to recognize that when it comes to souls being saved, being challenged, and being discipled, we cannot afford to do like Mike Horton talked about, this us versus them mentality. Because sin is not in the skin, it's in the heart. And people need to be saved regardless of their ethnicity, regardless of their background, regardless of their social status. People need Jesus. And it's up to a body of baptized believers like Grace in Kansas City or Cedarville to show the world what it looks like. Heaven on earth, right here in this place. This whole thing is a challenge to all of us. I wish we had time to develop Luke chapter 4. We don't. But I'm reminded of what the Lord Jesus tells us, the kind of ministries we need in discipleship, ministry to the soul, to the mind, to the whole person. Ministry, the biblical strategy, renewal. A young couple got married, and they were on their way home from the honeymoon. A tractor trailer pulled out in front of them suddenly, and the young groom swerved his car to avoid it. The car went into a tailspin and crashed. The groom was okay, but his new bride was bleeding profusely. He knew that if he didn't get his wife to a doctor, she was going to die. So he got out of the car. He saw a sign as he carried her around in the dark. He looked up and he saw a sign. It said, Dr. Rufus Jones, internal medicine. And so he hurried his wife in his arms, and she was bleeding profusely. And he began banging at the door of this doctor's house. He was banging and banging and banging. An old man came to the door, and the groom said, Dr. Jones. The man said, yes, I'm Dr. Jones. How can I help you? Dr. Jones, my wife is dying. She's bleeding. Please save her. Much to his surprise, Dr. Jones said, young man, I can't help you. You see, I stopped practicing medicine many years ago. I don't have any equipment here. I don't have medical supplies. I stopped practicing medicine a long time ago. This young husband was distraught and frustrated and grief-stricken. And he looked at Dr. Jones in his eyes and he says, if you can no longer help hurting people, then please take down your sign. May I say to you this morning, my friends, that people from all across the world, all across this city, ride down North Main Street and they see a sign that says Grace Baptist Church. This is a hospital for sick folk. Am I right? Now, I know you think you all right, and I know you think you well, but I'm here to tell you, you sick. And whatever the sickness is, I'm not playing down this. We're all sick. The church is a hospital for sick folk. And if people ride down North Main Street and see a sign that says this is the place where you can help sick folk, if this church is not going to be the church that's going to help sick folk, then you might as well, like Dr. Rufus Jones, take down your sign. We tell the world that we're about God's business. We tell the world that we've got a solution to problems. We let people know. We sing it in our songs. We preach it in our sermons. We teach it in our classes. We funnel our young people through Awanas, and we tell them all the time that Jesus is the answer to whatever the problem is. He's the solution to whatever the issue is. That's what we say. But when push comes to shove, 9 times out of 10, that's not how we behave. So the Apostle Paul, along with Matthew, the writer, says this. We ought to thank God for ministry. The biblical basis for the ministry of our church is reconciliation. And the strategy, how we carry it out, is renewal. Every man needs an opportunity to hear the gospel. And I'm thankful that you're a missions-minded church. That is fantastic. We support missionaries home and abroad just like you do here. Thank God for the missionary that you will be voting in next week. You will vote them in next week. Yes, you will. If not, God have mercy on your soul. So thank God for missionaries who go. Thank God for the team that left this morning to go to Malawi. I mean, it's great. It's exciting to hear that. But God is bringing the world to us. Everyone doesn't look like us. Everyone doesn't think like us. Everyone doesn't dress like us or act like us. God has put us in contact in our church, in our community, in our schools, in our neighborhoods, in our shopping malls, with people who are not like us. And he says, listen, your ministry is about reconciliation and renewal. So on this day, as we embark upon the Fundamental Baptist Fellowship Association meeting, talking about how we can bridge the gap of the ethnic divide, I ask that you pray with us and pray for us, encourage us and participate with us. We're on the campus of Cedarville. It would be great to see some of you come to our plenary sessions and preaching sessions and workshop sessions. We want, as your pastor said, we want the world to see a little glimpse of heaven right here on earth. Amen? Amen. Father, thank you for Jesus. Now, as we turn it over to Pastor Craig, I ask your blessing. Thank you for the word. Thank you for the challenge from the word. Thank you for this ministry that we've been given. We love you so very, very much, and we thank you for this awesome privilege of sharing it. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. And all the saints of God said,
amen.
Amen.
Thank you, brother.
Bless you, brother. Thank you.
And I just want you to know, my people were all saying amen on the inside. Joy of the Lord is down deep in there, and sometimes it comes out. Not often. What a great day it's been. What a great day to hear the Word of God, to reflect on what God is doing around the world, to reflect on the mission we have been given, that ministry of reconciliation. And the only way it's ours, the only way we've ever experienced it, is through Jesus Christ. You may be here today. I don't know everyone who's here today, but you may be here today, and you need to know Jesus. You are not yet reconciled to God. You may be religious. You may have a history of attending church, but you need to recognize your need of a Savior, your need of reconciliation. You need your sins forgiven. We got good news. The ministry of reconciliation continues and is available today. As we close our service, our elders will be standing at the front of the auditorium, in front of the balcony. We're here to pray for you. And if there's anything we can do to pray for you, perhaps you need to know more about that ministry of reconciliation. Perhaps you're saying, I want to be a part of what God is doing around the world. I want to find out how I can participate in a greater way in the ministry of reconciliation, either here at the church or around the world. We'd love to pray with you. We'd love to help you. So would you stand with me? Our elders will make their way to their places. Let me pray. Our Father and our God, how grateful we are for this ministry of the word that we've heard and for the ministry of reconciliation which has changed us and been given to us to see changes in lives around us. God, may we be faithful in taking up our ministry of reconciliation, in knowing what we need to know and going and doing what we need to be going and doing. And God, we pray, if there is anyone here who needs to experience the power of Jesus changing their lives, may they seek him today. And now may your grace, your mercy, your peace go with us from this place. In the name of Jesus, we pray it. Amen. God bless.